Guys, I know we've been talking about mobile games, and we're going to talk about our past with them, but I got good news for you all.
Yeah, sure.
And this is kind of going to be good for the whole show and all the shows, I think, is that I found one of my very first apps I ever downloaded back in 2008, and Pocket Guitar still kicks ass.
Okay. Turn that shit up.
Oh, let me crank it. Hold on.
Crank it.
Oh. Oh my god, he's shredding.
Somebody whips this out at a party in 2008. It's time to rock.
It's go time, baby. That 15-year-old guitar app sounds crisp as hell, baby.
Let me add some distortion on it. Hold on. No, I had two. Okay, that's too much distortion. I took the distortion off.
A little bit less reverb in my monitors.
There's too much wah. Oh, it's turned up to 11, guys.
Funny.
Okay, now watch this. I'm going to drink a beer. Hold on. This is hilarious. See, the beer disappeared.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. You've got everything. Though.
For 99 cents, you can make it look like chocolate milk.
Yeah, but can you make your room that was previously very dark, very light with the flashlight app?
Can you do what this app does?
I'm getting wind noise on that track, which makes me think it's not coming from your phone plant. I feel like the call is coming from inside the plant.
I mean, there would be wind if we're technical.
Yeah.
Gross. Bye. And start the show.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best games on the phone.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the beep boops.
My name is Ross Rushing, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It's a video game club, buddies. Just by listening, you have become a member. Welcome to our illustrious number. Soon, and for a while, we'll be talking about Legend of Zelda.
It's the big green elephant in the room.
The big green Legend of Zelda, and let's all say the subtitle together. Tears of the Kingdom. We all remembered that, but this week we're going to talk about mobile games. Chris Plant, what's a mobile game?
Well, one day somebody decided to put a video game on a mobile thing, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since.
We didn't get Zelda, or we didn't get it early.
Just say we didn't get it early.
this episode comes out the day Zelda comes out, but none of us have played it. But we will have a little bit of Zelda segment in the second half.
And there are going to be plenty of people who listen to this show, who do not have a Nintendo Switch, who do not have a Zelda, but do you know what all of them have? A mobile.
Fucking phone.
Not necessarily. They got a mobile. We don't want to judge.
Necessarily.
And I do just want to say that I have played Breath of the Wild and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So I've basically played Tears of the Kingdom.
Just jam them together.
Just squish them together. We're going to talk about all that, and we're going to do it right after this.
You shouldn't have to spend $1 million billion just to talk to your loved ones. But that's what these corporations want you to have to do it. Because if we are not able to talk to each other, we're weaker and it's easier for them to take over. And I know that these are maybe some troubling thoughts, but Mint Mobile is here to help you out with that. Because for a limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. It's time to, you can organize the rebellion easier talking to your friends and family for just $15 a month with Mint Mobile. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/besties. That's mintmobile.com/besties. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey, y'all, has anybody been playing anything good on their phone lately?
Jesus Christ, I hope so. Wow, I hope so.
What a twist
wild,
that would be, huh?
I would say this episode, though it may seem like it's coming out of nowhere on Zelda Day, there was just an influx of Apple Arcade titles that we have, of a scale that I do not know we have seen since maybe the platform first launched. I have been playing games on my phone more in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last year. It is a fun time for games on the phone right now.
Which game is the star of your house?
Oh boy, of my house. I mean, I don't.
Plant, can we take a moment?
What?
Because it's so rare to find an original sentence in the English language. And I don't think anybody's ever said what game is the star of your house.
What? What do you mean? Like, there's a game.
What game is the star of your house?
Yeah, like everybody in the house is like, can't get enough of that game.
And it's the star.
Star. I mean,
go on.
Starfield. Star of the house.
Stretch the bit.
The current game that is being played a lot in our house is Pokemon Violet. Henry has finally gotten into it. But that's not a phone. It's not a phone game.
No.
My phone time is for me. It's a personal journey that I like to go on. Sometimes when I am playing, Gus will climb up in my lap and seize the phone from me. And then all of a sudden, you know, Donatello has died because a baby is controlling him. And I guess that's our first game to talk about. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate, I think is what it's called.
Hades Edition.
Yeah, this is an Apple Arcade title. It is free if you have Apple Arcade, which is maybe a loaded statement. But it is a sort of isometric brawler in the vein of a Hades, where you control the Toidles through a series of battle arenas. And you get level ups every time you finish like a little arena, and you create builds based around those. And it's got four player multiplayer, and it's pretty fucking fun. Has anybody else played this one?
Yes, I actually played it as well, and it is pretty fun. I like the combat, feels good, and it's, you know, you got the four turtles there. Raphael's quick, and Donatello's got a big stick. There's probably more to it than that, but. Yeah, in terms of like a jump in, jump out, and it's a roguelite, I guess, because you have some progression, but it's, you know, you're starting from scratch when you die kind of thing.
It's
satisfying. It's welcoming.
It's pretty challenging, I would say, though. Once you beat the first level I feel like is super easy, and then the second level will kick your ass, but that's okay, because you know, take your dragon coins back to the base, and you get permanent upgrades for your turtles.
Yeah, I think it maybe leans a little too much in the progression update, you know, upgrade, so you have a shot at surviving, but the actual combat is pretty fun and satisfying, and I like the graphics, and they, like, fully voiced a lot of it, and that's pretty cool.
I don't know that it works so great with touch controls. Like, it is totally serviceable, but especially once you get into more challenging, like, encounters, it does the thing that a lot of games do, which is like enemies telegraph their attacks, right? So you see like, oh, this guy's about to launch this big poison bomb and it's going to land here, and I have like a second and a half to get out of the way. It's easy enough to like deal with one of those, but when you have like six telegraphed attacks to try to like weave around while taking out enemies at the same time, I found myself wishing that I had buttons, which I don't know, it might use Backbone. I have not used my Backbone in a long time.
Yeah, I think most of the newly released Apple Arcade games all support controller things. The other one that I played, I don't know if you have more to say about TMNT.
No, not really.
I played What the Car, which I know other people on the thing played as well.
Hell yeah.
And that game,
it's the star of my house.
It's the star of Plants House.
This game is the star of my house.
We finally found out the star of Plants House. if you're not familiar, What the Car is made by the same people who made What the Golf and What the Bat. And it is a...
Wait, I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, you haven't heard of What the Bat?
They made a baseball one?
They made a VR baseball one where your arms are bats.
Yes.
It's pretty fun. It's not as good as What the Golf, but it's still pretty fun. But the idea is it's like comedy mini games where you, in What the Car, you start out with like a simple car that you're driving down a track. And then suddenly, what if the car had legs? And what if the car had a jetpack? And it's a variety of like very silly, over the top, I guess, kind of platforming challenges in a 3D space. And it's super fucking funny. You know, it's so rare that there are like games that make me laugh out loud, but they like, this game genuinely was like, what if it had too many legs? And then suddenly you have like six legs on the car.
It does the two things you have to do to be a funny video game, guaranteed. Oh. The two things.
What's that?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Be so easy that you don't have to repeat the bit.
Hmm.
And be so short that the bit doesn't wear out its welcome. Two things that comedy games fail to do most
constantly.
Of the time.
I mean, this game is not easy, is what I would
question. You go for, you know, there's like collectible trading cards on each course that require you to like take pretty circuitous routes that are much more difficult.
It dares you.
I at a certain point I stopped going after those because I was repeating levels and it was not funny or fun anymore.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. Every level starts with your car is in a cannon and you have to press the honk button to launch the cannon. And then it zooms up close on the car and voices sing like, car with too many legs. And it's different every time. And it's like a fun comedy jump scare every single time that it happens. And it is a delightful experience.
I really liked it. They also have a level creator built into the game with like pretty intuitive tools, and they do something very smart where they feed in user created levels into the main, like there's like a world map, like Super Mario World style, like you're moving around selecting levels, and in that you'll see user created levels as well. That's sort of where I was alluding to with the difficulty, is some of those levels are like people made insanely difficult levels, which, so maybe caveat emptor, but for the most part, it's very approachable and fun if you don't go crazy. I would say, though, it's totally playable on touch. It is, like, excellent on a controller. Like, the controls are so good, and, like, the cars feel great, and the responsiveness is, like, really good that if you have the ability...
Can you play with a wheel?
I don't think you can play with a wheel. Maybe you can, but you can definitely play with, like, an Xbox controller.
Better be able to play it with a wheel. That'd be so fun. Yeah, so like the controls on the screen is a like a little wheel that you steer left and right, and then there's like a stick shift slash horn button.
Yeah.
This game rules. We have a lot of people, like the recurring question we get on any time people ask us questions is either I don't play a lot of video games, what should I play to start, or how do I, you know, start my kid on video games? This is the perfect game for that because it does so many different styles of play that, you know, it's referential to so many different types of video games that it's kind of just a good primer on, I don't know, like the history of play. And then when you go from here and go try other things, you'll be in a good spot.
I let my kid try it. She's 8, Charlie. And she really dug it. She said, this is very fun to play and the concept is very stupid.
Good.
And
hell yeah.
That's pretty much the whole bit.
She has a future in games journalism, unfortunately.
It is enjoyably dumb, but I got a kick out of it. I think it's very funny.
I think it is it's easy to underwrite how impressively dumb and also fun it is. Like, it's extremely difficult to make what they made, which is like a really
approachable. Yeah, get that 8-year-old fresh. Get her.
Yeah, take that.
She doesn't
appreciate the
dinner.
Nuance of a man's game.
No, I'm just really impressed by all of their games really are like, it's really hard to make these sorts of games approachable and fun and silly and funny. And I'm always like thrilled to see anything that they're putting out because it's such a rarity.
I'd like to mention a game that I have been enjoying, that I've been playing a little bit. And this is like not for everybody, but it is the kind of thing where if you like this sort of thing, I think you'll really get a kick out of it. It's called 10 Dates, and it is the sequel to a game called 5 Dates. And it is from Wales Interactive, which does a lot of these like first person, like FMV type thing. They actually just released one called Mia and the Dragon Princess. They did Who Pressed Mute on Uncle Marcus, which I've talked about here before. So that has been their milieu, I guess. And this game, 10 Dates, like I said, the sequel to 5 Dates, is on mobile. You can play it on Steam. You can play it on mobile. It is so the last one, 5 Dates, was about like it was very much a quarantine era product. It was about dating online during a pandemic, and you would be set up on dates, and you are playing a, you know, fully voice acted character. You're not like playing yourself or whatever. You're in control of your main character, and you would go on sort of like Zoom dates with people, and it's pretty binary. It's just like you know, yes or no questions. You decide like if you want to keep delving into something or if you want to like ignore it and move on to something else. But you're really like navigating a conversation with somebody and like the ebb and flow of it. And there's not really a win state. It's much more about just like the pleasure of watching a conversation like this play out. 10 Dates, the sequel is in like starts the first sort of round of it is in like a speed dating setting. So people are back in person. And you're sitting across the table from, or your character is sitting across the table. You can choose a man or a woman, and you go on a variety of these like little speed dates, and you're choosing basically the conversational topics, how you're reacting to stuff. And because there's not really a, you know, a win or lose per se, you're not getting points based on, you know, winning people over. It's not like that super seducer, that nightmare.
I was going to say.
Yeah. It's not like that. It's not points to like do well. It's very much like who you sort of like click with. And it's interesting. It's mainly like the pleasure of it is mainly just like watching. The acting is really good and the writing is like really good. And it does kind of feel like just watching two people kind of connect for the first time or watching them sort of not connect for the first time and bump off each other. But it is kind of like that romantic comedy energy, but it's distilled down to its purest, just like boiled down meat cutes to pipe them right in direct to the vein, cute and light and very different from other games. I mean, game is probably not even, they call it an interactive rom-com, which I think is maybe overstating it a bit, but I got a really big kick out of it. If you want something different, it's phone, iPad, Steam, you know, whatever. But it's called 10 Dates, and there's no connection to the last one that I can discern. But it's neat.
Speaking of different, I just dropped in a screenshot of the thing that's basically sucking up my entire life.
Oh, no questions about it or anything. I thought there'd be a discussion.
Oh, well, Justin, look at the image.
More like, let me shuffle out this FMV degenerate and let him do his legally mandated spiel, and then we'll put him back in the eaves above the home where we store him.
No, Chris and Russ and I have done our community service. If you'll look at the image that Russ has just posted in here, I do think you'll feel embarrassed for your thoughts and actions.
Well, I guarantee we'll talk more about this than mine.
Yeah, for sure.
So it seems that Zen Pinball has licensed probably the most in-demand pinball franchise the world has ever seen, and that would be Garfield.
Yeah.
And man, there's so much to take in with this game.
Before you get into that, I think you're assuming people know what Zen Pinball is.
Or what Garfield.
Yeah, first of all, Garfield, he's a cat. Hates Mondays, loves lasagna, kind of grumpy, has like a love-hate relationship with Odie, who's the dog that lives in his house. There's Normal, who's very cute. John drinks coffee a whole lot and has like an on-again, off-again thing with this woman.
Staunch Christian overtones.
Meow.
So that's Garfield. Zen Pinball is a long-running pinball franchise.
It's basically the best pinball franchise.
It's basically a platform.
This was going to be like a junky iPhone game. I did not realize that like the people who actually know how to make pinball tables were like, you know, we're going to take a break. We're going to really go for it. We're going to go Garfield.
Yeah, and so they've gone and made a bunch of franchise pinball tables in Garfield. I don't know how long Garfield's been up there, but as I was surfing for other mobile games to check out, Garfield Pinball just jumped out at me. And man, everything's here. You got Odie. You got Garfield. You got John's chair, which is like has just like a really central place on this pinball table. I'm zooming in here. Odie's treats, Feast Frenzy, TV time. There's a scale to weigh how Garfield weighs.
I can't tell if you are describing the table or reading the Garfield wiki. It's really
no. This is literally stuff that's on the. There's a fridge.
Someone right now is listening to this and looking at their Nintendo Switch across the room. It has just made the beep beep noise that has let them know that Zelda has finished downloading. And they probably find themselves confused at how much they don't want to play Zelda right now and just want to listen to Russ sort of recap the characters and concepts of Garfield, the mythos of Garfield.
Can I suggest something? So Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Tears of the Kingdom both have like sort of ambient piano music playing in the background. But what if instead of that, while you're playing Zelda, you could just hear the like idle chatter of the Garfield pinball game?
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, those two things are definitely equivalent. I do remember when the Video Game Award for Best Video Game Music in 2017 went to Lorenzo Music, the voice of Garfield, which was... and then the audience just started booing, like, really, 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 really loud.
Jeff Keighley was run out of town in shame. Yeah. He was never allowed to...
And he was like, we should have been more specific when we said best music that we meant, like, songs... And not like a guy's last name.
Yeah.
Even though it is Garfield, so put some respect on him.
Can I share a game?
Please.
Okay. So did any of you play Grand Mountain Adventure Plus?
I really liked that.
Yeah.
That was a chill thing, man. Talk about a game where, well, you're going to talk about it.
No, but, you go ahead. But you go ahead. I'm excited that you're excited.
Well, no, I just want to say my little thing is like, and that kind of connects to what we were talking about. Early days of mobile, there was a lot of work put into how do you find experiences that just like feel good with this input. And that was very common back in the day where you'd find one that's just like, oh, this feels great. This is exactly what everybody should be doing. Those are less common because people have gotten smarter about it. But this is a skiing game where it just feels like so perfect for mobile. It is just a joy to play.
Well, going off what you just said, a lot of those early mobile games, the trick was what's familiar to everyone. Like, let's bring Solitaire over, or Freecell, right? Or Minesweeper. Let's bring over games that people know how to play already, and then, you know, at least that part's taken care of, and then they can learn the touch controls. And this is, like, ski-free through and through. For, I don't know if people listening remember Ski Free. It came out like 1991, but it's just a little top-down, or I guess isometric skiing game where you go down a hill. The whole point is like basically chill, zone out, go down a hill. It feels good to move downwards in a video game. And this game is top-down / isometric, chill, zone out, go down a giant semi-open world. It's like these like large... entire mountains. There are a few mountains in the game, and you can kind of go wherever you want, and as you progress, you'll like come across little goals like, oh, you know, race through this area or get to the bottom at this speed or do a couple tricks, and then you'll earn little passes that give you the ability to go up ski lifts, and then you get higher and higher in the mountain, and then you switch between the mountains. It's a really, really great just kind of, I don't know, progress path. The only bummer, I'll say this, is as I got into the Justin, did you get to any of the hard levels?
No.
So I got to the like they're like hard paths, and they felt wildly difficult. Like just did not gel with what I had assumed the game to be. So I looked up the game because I wasn't sure what its full title was because I had seen a few different ones, and it's also on Steam and Switch. And now I'm kind of wondering, like, oh, as great as this feels on, you know, like phone, was it made for those things?
Right.
And then this is kind of a port, because for me, if I were designing this just for mobile, I would have really stuck basically exclusively with the chill out vibes and not tried to go too hard into like this being a game. That said, it's Apple Arcade. So it costs nothing if you already have Apple Arcade. And I think it's like a great couple hours until you get to the hard stuff. And then there's plenty of other stuff to do. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, has anybody else played Honkai Star Rail?
Oh, man. No, I want to hear all about it.
I'm not sure I do. You got to get up on it. Justin, you are excused.
Thank you.
From the next 5 minutes.
Hey, listen, my to-do list just got a little bit shorter.
Honkai Star Rail is the new title from miHoYo, or HoYoVerse is like their, what they call their slate of games. They made Genshin Impact. And so this is the next in their series. I can actually hear Justin going.
That's incredible.
That wasn't me, actually. Unbelievably. No, I'm still here. I guess it's Russ is just excusing himself for the conversation. That he didn't count on what a loud door
Russ
he had.
Russ is on the bubble. I don't think Russ would like this game either. I know Justin wouldn't.
I'm still here. Don't worry.
It is... It is Genshin Impact by way of like more traditional JRPG instead of being a more action RPG, action adventure, Breath of the Wild like. They know how to make a very polished game, and it is free to play, so you know it costs nothing to download it and check it out. Which, if you are a JRPG fan, I definitely think you should do, just because it is pretty impeccably presented. It does a lot to streamline the turn-based battles that make up, the majority of the game's like gameplay, where every character that you can unlock through the, gacha system that returns from Genshin Impact. Has like different elemental affinities that you can use to target weaknesses and enemies to sort of get a persona like break their defenses and slow them down and delay their turn and make them extra vulnerable to follow up attacks. Every character also has like a specialty, so there are like single target, damage characters, and then there's healing characters or debuff characters, and you have to put together a team of four using those two sort of considerations. But fights move very, very fast. You don't have some huge list of commands. You basically have a basic attack, a special attack that uses like a point system that you accrue as you, do regular attacks in battle. And then every character has an ultimate that you can deploy at any time. And it basically boils down to, deciding when to use your ultimates and when to use your special attacks to break an enemy that has an upcoming turn so they can't do a thing to you. And, maybe I need to save my energy so that I can put a shield up on this character that's being targeted. It's very smart in how it doesn't overwhelm you with options for things that you can do for any character's like given turn, but trying to figure out the best way to deploy those like limited options has been pretty rewarding. I've only played it for a few hours and it seems very big. So I can't speak to it a whole lot. The story is incomprehensible. And so if that's a thing that you are looking for, then this may not be for you. It has big Phantasy Star Online vibes, which is scratching the itch for me. But I really like the gameplay. The writing is at times like kind of cute and funny and charming. And the character designs are amazing, as Genshin Impact's were. I dropped a few bucks to do like a special draw from the gacha machine, but they also do the thing that these games do, which is like overwhelm you up front with free passes for pulling characters. And so I think I've pulled like 80 characters and have not, or 80 draws and have not spent that much money on the game. So I am going to spend more time with it because I am very, very much enjoying it. I never really got into Genshin Impact too deep. Just because I didn't really enjoy the combat in the game and the way that it handled sort of elemental weaknesses and stuff. But if you are a JRPG fan, I definitely think that this one is worth checking out because it's just very, very, very well made. Yeah, that's the Honkai story.
Well, I was just going to say before we go to Breath of the Wild, if we wanted to share the earliest games we ever downloaded on our iPhones.
God, I'm not kidding. I could go for a half hour on my ancient history of my purchase.
You showed us how to do this. Friend, if you want to do this, this is a value add, right, for our show?
Yeah.
Go to the App Store, click on your little icon of yourself in the upper right-hand corner, then click Purchased, My Purchases, and then scroll all the way to the back.
You probably should go to Not on This iPhone, because I'm hoping if you've been using iPhones for 15 years, you don't still fucking have, you know.
The first game I ever downloaded on my phone was in 2008. And it was Super Monkey Ball.
Fuck yeah.
That's a good one, right?
That's a good one. My first one is a game just called Balls. Guys, it's my top, my first, I'm not kidding, maybe 30 apps on here are straight up garbo.
Hit me with some of them. I feel like I have some good ones on my first few apps.
What do you got?
Well, my first few, I got Rolando. Remember that Rolando, entire NG? Yes. Injimoko era of games.
Oh, yeah. Rolando's good.
Rolando, Sway, Zenbound, the game where you, like, did, like, rope bondage with, like, wooden trinkets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great game. Light Bike Online, the Tron ripoff, Light Bike game.
Sure.
Textropolis. Yeah, I got that Super Monkey Ball Light, of course. Was I going to pay for it? Of course not.
Do you have Switchblade Free Self-Defense?
I do
I'm pretty
not.
Sure that was an app that it had a little switchblade on the screen, and when you tapped it, it came out.
Some of these aren't even like, you can't even get them anymore.
Most of these you can't get them anymore.
You can't even download them anymore. You know the one that I had completely forgotten about? This is in, Constitution for iPhone. God, Justin, why, why? Oh, here's a Rimshot app. That's great. It's an interesting one called Soul Trapper. That was an audio only video game where you would use like gestures to control like a story that was just being told to you through your headphones. That was really cool.
Yeah. What about Fart Piano? Make everyone laugh. That's from I downloaded that one on May 18th, 2009.
I just found Light Bike Online and Zenbound.
They're good.
Absolutely, they're good.
How big of a bummer is it that like. Game preservation wise, some really big games straight up you can't download now. It's like Let's Golf, Peggle, Flight Control. I'm sure that there must be a new version of Flight Control somewhere, but whoa.
Zenonia?
Land of the Lost Crystal Adventure starring Will Ferrell.
Heartbreaking. I Am T-Pain 2.0 is no longer available, but man alive, did I use that app a whole lot. That was an app, if you didn't play with phones in 2009 that let you auto-tune your voice.
It was quite a thing for a little bit.
Literally anything you could sing into it, it would auto-tune it, and it would sound so shitty and bad.
Y'all, how big of a bummer is this? Do you remember that game Ellis? With the little circles? And you would like push down the circles? It was this like, it's kind of like the first artsy indie game on mobile. And it's you can't download it anymore. But then I know that they did a re-release of it, and it looks like you can't download that either.
Man, you can't even download Cylon Detector. How the heck am I supposed to detect Cylons?
They look just like us.
Mafia Wars, guys.
Fuck
remember
yeah.
Mafia Wars 2009? Can't play that anymore. There is a real... Russ, we were just talking about how there is such a loss of game history. Like, you talk about where like game preservation is rough, man. A lot of these are just gone.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these you just can't do it. Oh man. Oh guys. Okay. I just found the first game that I was like really obsessed with. And this was in 2010, early 2010. And this would have been like the first game where I was working at Joystick. And we would, you know, get all fixated on the same mobile game and start like comparing scores in that. Tilt to Live.
Yes.
Oh,
Tilt
yeah,
sure. Oh, yeah.
Talk about games that just like felt, that was a, you know what? It's sort of like Geometry Wars, except the only like input was tilting the phone. They would put out like mines and stuff like that. God, that was a really, really good game. I really miss being really fixated on like score hunts against other people.
Yeah, I think Cube Runner was my first like standout, obsessed with this game. This was a 2018 release, and I don't know if it runs. I'm looking at the screenshots, and it's Jesus Christ, it's so rough.
Some of these you can still, some of the, like, I had back to back downloaded Battle Heart and Tiny Wings. Both fucking
Tiny
absolute
Wings is
jammers.
The other one that I was deeply into.
Yeah, Battle Heart is great too.
It's so wild to look at this shit. First of all, that this was, I mean, I downloaded Tiny Wings March 16, 2011. That was 12 years ago. It is such a wildly different landscape that, you know, when these games were coming out and we were downloading them, there wasn't a ton of competition for phone space or time. And so when Tiny Wings came out, everybody at Joystick downloaded it because it was,
it's
like
the same reason that we have popular podcasts.
Yes, that's fair.
We started back then. You had to do it early when you weren't competing with anybody.
It's just, I'm looking at the list of shit from back then, and these games have a big footprint in my mind, and that absolutely would not be true. I mean, even like, okay, I mentioned Honkai Star Rail. I don't know if I'm still going to be like, if 12 years from now I'm going to have the kind of memories from that game that I have about, you know, Tiny Wings or Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery, because those were like the only ones. Those were the only games that were out on phone that people were talking about.
When I got back into Tiny Wings, you can still find it on my YouTube channel from like a dozen years ago. When I got back into playing Tiny Wings competitively after saying that I was done with it, I made like an intro video, like a video about myself playing Tiny Wings again as the Million Point Man. And I like was bragging about how the Million Point Man was back on the charts in Tiny Wings, because it was such a big deal, like what, like Tiny Wings scores back then. God. Did you find it?
No, I just found Ow My Balls. That was, oh, sure. Downloaded that one in 2012.
Okay, well, anyway, that's our, I don't know if there was a point to that. It is fun to do the like nostalgia trip down. It's weird to think about mobile gaming having that level of nostalgia, but like we're there. Yeah. It's been at least 14 years. I mean, there's a lot of these that you can't play. I tell you, that preservation thing does bother me though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem everywhere, sure, unfortunately, yeah. But yeah.
It feels like these could slip through the cracks a lot easier than games that are released in retail with physical forms, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk about the incredible princess and her hero, Link.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now is the best possible time to create a website, a web page, a place on the web, whatever you want to call it. You need a home for your stuff. Maybe it's because you have a store, a business, and you want to be able to sell stuff online. That's great. Squarespace makes that easy. They have seamless checkout for customers, simple, powerful payment tools. They accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, whatever you want. You can upload video content if you're into that sort of thing. Maybe you like playing video games. Maybe you like to stream, collect an archive, throw it on a website. But frankly, I think everybody should just have a web space to be themselves. Do whatever you want. Maybe you want to post images of, I don't know, your family. You can share it with friends. Maybe you have art that you want to like be able to just keep. Maybe you just want a place to document your ideas. Remember blogs? You can just write things on the internet and nobody can tell you no. Definitely not Squarespace. In fact, they'll tell you yes. They will say, how can we help? Well, the answer is actually quite simple. You go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And you can use, hey, the Squarespace Blueprint. It's a guided design system that'll make it all easy for you. When you go there, when you're ready to go and launch this thing, squarespace.com/besties, and that will save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So get that free trial at Squarespace. Squarespace, nerdist.com/besties. We'll see you on the internet.
Okay, so Zelda, as people probably know, came out today, the day this episode is now live. And I wanted to ask y'all, like, none of us have played it at this point as we are recording. What is your intention? How will you be playing it when it comes out? So I guess, like, number one, is this a game where you'll use, like, walkthroughs and, like, read a guide on, like, where the best places to go are first? Or are you just going to go completely blind?
It's hard to say. When I played Breath of the Wild, I basically did it two times in a row, where my first playthrough, I just kind of, like, I beat all the dungeons, and then I beat the boss, and I did some of the shrines enough to, like, get strong.
Yeah.
And then I played it in master mode and tried to, aside from the Korok seeds, like, 100% it, which I would love to do this time around. I don't know if Tears of the Kingdom has a master mode.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which would be, honestly, a pretty big bummer if it doesn't, just because I really, really, really enjoyed playing the game in a, like, very intense, difficult way. But it's hard to say with this game.
Same way you go at life, right?
Right, exactly. It's hard to say with this game, though, because it seems like the systems are so much more open-ended that it's, like, less about, well, where do I go to get the Master Sword, and how do I get it as fast as I can so I can get a weapon that doesn't, you know, I don't have to worry about weapon degradation as much. When in this game, it's like, oh, I found a big spiky ball, and I put it on a stick, and now I kill everything. It feels like, I don't know, it feels like you rob yourself of some of the joy of that if you go in with a more walkthrough-focused mindset.
On that same level, I don't know how much you guys played Breath of the Wild with pro mode on, which was a HUD setting, but it was one of the best decisions I ever made in playing Breath of the Wild with pro mode on, and I was curious if anyone else wants to.
Can you explain what that
means? Sure. So pro mode is like the most minimal HUD you could possibly have. I'm pretty sure the only thing that you see is your health. Like, when you're walking around, you can see your hearts at the top left, and you can see your stamina as it's, like, being used. But otherwise, there's nothing else on the screen. Normally, the, like, default HUD is surprisingly cluttered and busy, and I don't particularly like it because there's, like, so much there. But because the game is so well designed, so much of the stuff that is in the HUD is already portrayed in the game. So, for example, if it's cold, there is a thermometer on the HUD normally, but you can see Link, like, shivering and, like, rubbing his arms for warmth. So there are ways to, like, intuit a lot of that stuff. The only thing that's, like, big that you're missing is, like, a radar, like a map. But again, like, there, you know, I'm fine checking the map. It was just a really great way to feel way more absorbed in that world, way more, like, invested, where I actually had to, like, look at the environment and think about where I was going next rather than just, like, following icons around.
Hmm.
So
I will give it a shot. It seems like not having the radar on the screen,
it's awesome. I got to say, play it for like an hour and see how you feel. But I thought it was just incredible to play it like that.
Feels like a good way to play the first hour because I just have no expectations. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to want to wander around anyway.
Yeah. The other thing I was wondering for y'all that aren't going to look things up, are you going to keep a notebook?
This is killing me. I can't talk about any of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
No. Plant is not allowed to.
Why?
Plant has been.
I know
very
everything that happens in this game.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I can say? This game's gonna be fucking awesome.
Plant has been very hands on. He has not literally played it, but he has been very hands on with the production of all the content that Polygon is working on regarding the launch of Breath of the Tears of the Kingdom.
Just say he's a nerd. I mean,
well,
he's a dork.
He knows
in this game.
He's a huge.
It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good.
He knows everything about this game, and I don't know how he's gonna be involved in the further discussions of this game because it will drive me nuts.
No, I'll be good. I don't.
You need to be really good. Like the best plant you've ever been.
I'm good.
You love.
I'm not
you
saying
love
anything
the
spoilies. Right now. I don't. That's old me. New me. I would never do that.
Why are you confusing the old him and the new him?
Yeah. Big mistake.
I'm not even available to download on the iOS App Store anymore. New me. I'm right there, top of the list.
He's right there. I mean, can we at least talk about the GIF you posted to me and
Russ. Oh, that was
and Justin.
Oh, I didn't know. I literally didn't watch it. I know you, he was like, do you want to see this? I was like, I don't want to see that shit.
No, you can see it. You can see this
one. I don't want to look at it. I'm not going to look at it.
I'm going to describe it.
Environment.
Fine.
How about actually, Fresh, this is good. This is good content. Can you do me a favor? Can you pull up that link and then can you just tell me what you're seeing?
Sure.
Just pull up the link and tell me what you're seeing.
He says it's good content.
Yeah, Fresh,
I mean,
just
do you want me to read
link.
What you wrote?
Just pull up the link. Tell me what. No, just.
Okay, I'm going to say this is a link to Reddit, a weapon to surpass Metal Gear. Not really spoilers, but it's from the leak. I don't know that I want to look at leaked.
Oh my God. Fine. Link.
It's a giant penis.
There we go.
No.
Oh, sorry. It's a man who appears to be shooting fire. I'm sorry. It's a construction. It's like a robot that someone made within this game.
Uh-huh.
And the robot has a big penis that is shooting fire.
Thank you.
And then Link is like,
yes.
Right there.
He's right there. He's looking at it. He actually lights the penis on fire. So.
And it's the robot has a head with a face on it that's like looking left and right, but it looks like Box Boy. And the penis goes up and down as it shoots fire out of it.
Look,
this is
what
E.J.
Onuma envisioned for the future of this franchise, honestly. So we just have to live in it.
Okay. Well, all right, fellas. That's it's going to be fun.
Do we have any other games that we wanted to mention for honorable mentions?
I wanted to say I finished my S+ professional Resident Evil 4 run. Just under 5 hours.
You got those cat ears?
Got those cat ears. Got that infinite ammo. What a fucking game. It has reminded me. I've never engaged with a Resident Evil game like this before where I wanted to play it in the hardest way possible. I usually just play through on normal, so I don't have to stress so much about the different systems in the game. But I enjoyed this one so much, and my familiarity with Resident Evil 4 was at a point where it felt very doable, and it was super duper hard. There are some of these like combat encounters that I'm going to have dreams about just because I had to slam my head against them so many times. The big thing for getting S+ on professional, which is the hardest difficulty setting, is that you can only save 15 times. And there's 16 chapters in the game. So that meant that I would have to, there were a few times where I was playing through like two and a half, three chapters without saving.
Wow.
And if you die, it's all gone.
I think I should finish this game. It seems like you guys like it.
The game rules.
I mean, it's pretty stellar. It's pretty
definitely
great.
A top 10 for me. Unquestionably top 10.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to unsee in my mind. It's one of those games I feel like I've not felt this way about a game since Sekiro, where I enjoy the experience of just playing the game so much, even though it is not traditionally the type of game that I would pick up and replay immediately after finishing it. It's just so pleasant to like play this game and goof around with it that I'm just absolutely in love with it. So that has been my big jam.
I've been playing a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit of Breath of the Wild because I've just been dying and it's just killing me waiting for Tears of the Kingdom to come out. And I booted it up and was reminded at how fucking amazing it is that they added the Hero's Path mode in that game, which, as a reminder, you can turn on Hero's Path if you're looking at the main map, and it'll show you a line of where you've walked for your entire adventure from start to finish. It was tracking it the whole time. Even when the game launched and it didn't have Hero's Path, it was still tracking where you were going to the point where you know exactly like places of the map that you haven't been yet. And in doing that, I've like stumbled upon areas that I've never been to. Side quest, like I found a side quest that I had never touched before. Just like big chunks of the game that I just didn't interact with previously. And it's a shame that I won't have enough time to experience them because Tears of the Kingdom's going to be out and I'm just going to play that. But it's that game fucking rules. I hope Hero's Path is in Tears of the Kingdom. Fingers crossed. Don't tell me, Blant. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything. I've been playing something else.
Yeah, but he is internally. I can hear his little brain working.
No, I'm not. I'm looking forward to telling you about my stuff.
Oh. What do you got?
I've been playing a game that you wanted me to play. And here you are, cutting me off at the knees.
Sorry.
And I was so excited to tell people
about...
Is he always
like this?
Always. Just when it comes to Zelda, really.
I'm not doing anything. I want to talk about Rusted Moss. A game that also I believe I recommended to you, Frush.
And then Frush I don't think that's true.
I think that's true. I think that's true. We'll check the logs. And it is a rogue, not rogue, like what am I saying? It's a Metroidvania where you are a young human or fairy woman. I'm having trouble with the story. Whatever the case, you have a giant ass.
You're a changeling.
Gun. Changeling, thank you. And a grappling hook. And the grappling hook has really goofy, fun physics. And you go around and you shoot robots. It's cool as hell. We'll be talking about it more on Rusties. And Griffin, it sounds like you've been playing it, so I want to hear your thoughts. And then the other thing is I've been playing it on an Asus ROG Ally, which is the Steam Deck competitor in Griffin.
Ooh, how is it?
It's going to be hard for you to resist it, I think.
I didn't know it was out.
It is not. But
here we go.
You didn't think I was going to let that Zelda inside stuff slide. No, you can order it now. It's very promising. We'll talk way, 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 way more about it later. Griffin, I think if you have the means, you should get one. Because the big difference is it's just way easier to tinker with. Steam Deck has like a huge community, so people have been building lots of interesting things for it, especially around emulation. But at the end of the day, having Windows on a handheld and all of the stuff that already exists for Windows is like a pretty, pretty, pretty big deal. And to be clear, I don't know if I said that up top. Yeah, basically picture a Steam Deck with Windows on it instead of Steam OS and Linux.
Which you could technically install Windows on a Steam Deck for what it's worth.
Here he goes.
There you go. There you go.
But it is, my understanding, is more powerful, a higher resolution screen, a little bit bigger.
A little bit thinner. It feels but somewhere wider. Between like a Switch and a Steam Deck is what I would describe the hand feel as. Anyway, anything else?
Justin, I need to hear your reaction to Jedi Survivor.
Oh, okay. It's a weird one, right? Because I kept playing it because Frush said that there is some like pretty kick-ass stuff later, and he was right. There is a not just one sequence. There's a few sequences that are like really, really, really good, and also the mobility evolves as you're going through the game in a pretty major way. And it is weird to me still, I think, how long it takes to get to that point. Like, I'm not saying with, like, a clear conscience. Like, I could say, like, oh, yeah, it's definitely worth, sticking with it if you're not absolutely loving it. But I will say, like, I have softened on it more the longer that I've been with it. You do have a lot more flexibility with the movement. And, like, it's a lot more challenging. There's a lot of stuff. Like, there's one part where... you are like doing a wall run on a platform that is moving, but you are staying on the platform because when you jump off, the platform itself moves forward and you can rejoin it. So you're sort of like consistently wall running on the side of a tram as it goes through this factory. There's a lot of cool stuff like that. And there's actually some like pretty good jokes, some pretty good jokes in there.
Love that Turgle.
We love Turgle. We stand Turgle.
I still think there's too much cruft to obscure some of this cool stuff, but I do have to say it's a pretty sequence that Frush was sort of hinting us towards is astounding. I mean, it's all time.
It's definitely like Respawn is, I think, kind of known for like a few like incredible sequences. Mm-hmm. And it definitely stands toe-to-toe with, the best moments of Titanfall 2 and, the early Call of Duty games.
The end of,
like
the Jedha sequence that you're referencing?
This is the Jedha sequence.
Okay.
Yeah, one of them. It's after the wind stuff. How's that?
Yeah, there's like that's a wind dungeon, and it's towards the end of that.
Yeah, it's great. And you'll know, because it's outrageous.
You'll know.
Cool.
Not something you can miss. That game is great. My general attitude of it is like that game would be easily like top five, like scratches a ton of itches for me if it ran better. It's still not. I'm playing on PS5. And I have to run on resolution mode because the second I switch to performance mode, it like is like at a 45, 50 frames, skippy, screen tearing mess. If the game was like consistent and smooth in the way that like, you know, I'd say like God of War Ragnarok was, this game would be like stratospherically higher for me. But I think the core of it, and I think over time they will address the performance issues, but the core of it is like so incredibly strong that I hope more people play it.
I wanted to mention movies real quick. Oh. I just watched a couple, and I wanted to briefly plug Bull, if you want like a pretty nasty British crime thriller kind of thing. If you like revenge movies or like especially that kind of low-key but pretty violent British crime thing, it's really intense and fun but dark. It's called Bull.
Bull, B-U-L-L.
Yeah, about a guy who's basically appears out of nowhere and should not be alive and has come to find his son. It's great.
You are leaving out like the most important part,
which is
that when it's a full moon he turns into a bull.
That's true. Yeah, he is half man, half bull. Mm-hmm. All party. I also watched 3,000 Years of Longing, the George Miller movie. Did you guys see that one?
No.
It's so nice.
It's
just a nice watch. It made me feel good. It's like basically friggin' Tilda Swinton is a narrativologist, studies stories, finds a lamp with a genie in it played by Idris Elba. He's like, let me hit you with those wishes. And she's like, nah, it never goes good. And then he like tells her stories from his life about like this incredible life he has lived and the people he's helped. And so it like cuts between the two of them talking about the nature of wishes, the nature of stories, the nature of relationships, all that stuff. And him telling these like fantastic sort of fables from his, life. It's beautiful to look at. It's very, very different from George Miller's last movie, which was, Mad Max Fury Road, but it is similarly has its heart in, the right place and is...
And the dude has range. He did Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Mega hit. And then it's like, what if I make the weirdest thing possible? It's also kind of like a beautiful story about how it becomes harder and harder to like believe in fantastical things.
Mm-hmm. I want to plug a TV show called Jury Duty.
Hey!
Yeah. Hey! This is a good one, folks. If you haven't seen any of the like trailers or anything for it. It is a show about a fictionalized court case and the jury that is convening over it. And everyone in it is an actor except one guy named Ronald who doesn't know, who thinks he's just on a documentary about being on jury duty. And it the big sort of gag is that James Marsden plays himself. And he is also on the jury, and it is so it could have gone in a very mean-spirited, pranky direction. Instead, it is one of the more wholesome shows I have watched in recent memory, where everything is just kind of about building this dude up and giving him essentially hero moments. I don't think it would work if the guy himself wasn't like pretty great.
He's like the best sport on the planet and like unflappable. But like, okay, just to give you an example of the kind of guy this guy is, he shows up, James Mars is there. He doesn't really recognize him. And he admits that to him. And then James Mars is like, yeah, I was in like Sonic the Hedgehog recently. And this guy's like, I heard that wasn't I heard that wasn't very good. And then he comes the next day. He's like, hey, I got to apologize. I watched Sonic the Hedgehog last night. It kicked ass. It's so good. You're right. It's great.
At one point, he brings in his DVD of Sex Drive to have James Marsden sign
That's
it.
That's hilarious.
Everybody else in the room is like, what is Sex Drive? And he like recounts the plot of Sex Drive. And they're like, wow, you could not make that movie again these days. They keep finding it treads the line of like outrageous, like there is no way this dude would not clock that this is a reality TV premise. At one point, like it gets so bonkers that he's like, I feel like I'm on a reality TV show. And just kind of like a hush falls over the crowd.
To that note, James Marsden did an interview that Sydney was telling me about where he was talking about that they would often have to make deposits into the reality bank is how he phrased it. And basically, like, have days of shooting.
Hours boring.
That were just boring. Yeah, or yeah, where, like, yeah. Nothing happened,
so
right?
Funny.
It's so wild.
It is such an impeccably produced tightrope act.
Is there a way to watch it? Because it's on Freevee, right?
It's on Freevee. It's on Amazon. If you watch it on Amazon Video, you can watch it with ads.
Oh.
Yeah, you can watch all of it with ads, and you should. It's hysterical. It is, it's a very kind. There are moments of genuine human kindness that are a beautiful beacon in the darkness.
Hey. And it's sort of like the positive version of John Quiñones's "What Would You Do?"
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like if the wildest possible thing happened, what would you do? And this guy just makes like kind choice after kind choice. It's really lovely.
See, I really only know the Mark Summers "What Would You Do?", so I can't really pick up on that reference.
I got you. I understand.
Also, James Marsden, National Treasure, and finally getting appreciated for
performance
for
in this
fact.
Is so fucking wild. Dude's doing like three levels where he is pretending to be James Marsden, but like a stylized like
there's a whole subplot where he is.
He's like reading a script that he got through the mail, and he audibly goes, "Ha!" Ah! He's like, "Oh, sorry, it's a jump scare." Script.
And the gag is that it's a script for an upcoming, basically Quentin Tarantino movie, but he won't say who it is. But he's like, "I can't say who it is." But imagine a director that like stuff has not come out about yet, but when it does, you wouldn't be too surprised. I can't say it's called Lone Pine, and the script sequences that he reads from it are so shitty and so bad, and everybody just kind of like rolls with it. It's man,
God, it's funny. It's really
so
funny.
so good. I'm recommending it to anybody who watches television. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. We really hope that you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you're enjoying Zelda if you partake, if you're one of those sorts of people. And next week, I think we should make at least a passing mention of Zelda, and let's say it together. Zelda.
Breath of the Wild 2.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes. Oh. I'm excited for it. I just can't remember things anymore.
Sorry, one more thing.
Oh.
He's
back.
It's back. I was worried that if I didn't do it one more time, there was going to be somebody who's going to send a nasty email.
Oh, yeah, that was an app.
I have more than one fart piano app in my history, and none of them are available to download anymore.
Yeah.
And that's shocking. Good.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Thanks for oh games that we talked about this week.
Oh,
sorry,
that's probably the thing I should have done. This week, what did we talk about? Well, great question. We talked about a ton of mobile games. We talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Splintered Fate, What the Car, 10 Dates, Zen Pinball, specifically the Garfield table, Grand Mountain Adventure Plus, Honkai Star Rail. We also talked a little bit about Tears of the Kingdom, the new Zelda game, Jedi Survivor, Bull, 3,000 Years of Longing, Rusted Moss, the Asus ROG Ally, both of which we'll talk about on Rusty's next week, Breath of the Wild, Resident Evil 4, and Jury Duty, a show that you should watch if you like watching shows.
I wanted to thank the following people for writing reviews for the Besties on Apple Podcasts. We have Lizzie McGuire 123, the Southwest Man Smusher, and Sketchy Breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. Thank you for writing reviews for the besties, and thank you to everyone else who has shared the show and talked about it. We are coming to a very big episode, so now is the time if you want to get your family and friends on the besties train. No better time than fucking Tears of the Kingdom.
Can't believe you did that.
It's hard to remember, guys. Listen, we can all admit it. That's going to do it for us this week on the besties. Be sure to join us again next time for the besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!